Anthony for three. Bang! That one goes down, and the game is tied.
Anthony's going to try and get one more shot off. Going out for the buzzer.
Oh, he puts it in from half court.
Back up top, Anthony puts it up.
Bang! Does it again from downtown.
Shumpert gets it back to Anthony for three.
Welcome, everybody, to the second edition of Bang. I am here with a few Knicks fans. I'm here with Zach. I'm here with Brendan.
Yep, this is Zach. Hey, how you doing?
This is Brendan.
And I'm here with Kevin.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Good, good. We're all excited, I think. I mean, I'm excited.
So 2-2, we're looking pretty good, I would say. A couple of... Actually, all four games have been very entertaining. Obviously, Kristaps Porzingis is getting better every single game, and you know, several plays now that are going national. I think the national media is really starting to pay attention to him, and the Knicks in general, I think they look like a basketball team. So general opinions, first four games, what do you guys think?
Like you said, being a basketball team is, I think, light years beyond what last year was. So I think we can only walk around with a smile on our face. Regardless of the record, they've been playing well.
It's nice to have a real team.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely a lot of optimism now.
So 2-2, are you guys ready to up your predictions that we had in episode one? I went with the 44 victories. I was kind of laughed at. What do we think?
Well, I'm down to 80-2, actually. No, I'm just kidding. But but no, I think I was thinking about you the entire time. I mean, you predicted that they'd win the first three games, I remember, and they almost did. They won the first two. Well, they didn't win the first two, but they won two out of three. And then, obviously, we lost to the Spurs, which was very tough. But, I mean, look at the progress of the team. The team is really advancing every game. You're really seeing the chemistry and you're really seeing the players get together. Obviously, Porzingis is, you know, the big story from the whole first four games. But, man, I'm really pumped. I can't believe this team's – well, I guess I can. But, Brian, you're right is all, what I mean to say. Your prediction was basically right. So.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And we don't want to turn this, obviously, into the Kristaps Porzingis podcast. But – I think, would you guys, if you could do it all over again, would you want anybody else? I mean, would you want Towns over Porzingis at this point, or would you take Porzingis over all of them?
I'd take Towns.
I mean, he's been filthy, but it depends on what we're, like, if we were trying to go win a championship today, yeah, I'd want Towns. But
Towns
I think
is
that
damn good.
Porzingis,
this is a Knicks podcast, but god damn it, he's good. A lot of players are good this year, but he's a beast.
But, like, I don't know. I like the path that we're on with Porzingis. I think it's going to be fruitful.
Also, look at it. He's a stretch four, too. I mean, that's the other thing. How many
– Stretch five.
Stretch five, but I'm just saying he's an outside shooter. That's really the rarest breed and such an important player in this league right now. I mean, he can be so transcendent if you think about it. Because he can play small ball and he's 7'3".
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's, I mean, really, I've heard this a couple of times, but there's really no comparison because people are comparing him to Dirk. I mean, he's far better, a far better defender now than Dirk really has ever been in his life.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah.
And also, most importantly, I think he's a lock for the one of the Monstar characters if they ever do a new Space Jam movie.
He's a little young, but they're working on that one already, so I hope so.
That's true.
What's the over-under that he brings back the dreadlocks over the next 10 years as a Knick?
I would love it. I would love it, but I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Yeah.
If he wasn't in New York, maybe, but
Or maybe it'll be because he's in New York.
I don't know. I'd love to see it. I would lose my shit. I might get cornrows if he gets cornrows.
Well, is that a promise? Are we going to...
Yes, I will put a word on that one.
That would be great promotion for the podcast.
We'll put my face up on the intro picture every week. It'll be the cornrows.
I think that at the very least, even if he doesn't do the cornrows, we should get a picture of you at age 8 and superimpose some cornrows onto it.
All right, I'll get working on that.
So let's go through the games. Obviously, the first game, you know, went pretty well against
our
the
bench
Bucks.
Was wonderful.
And Mr. O'Quinn did an excellent job. I was really impressed with him. I mean, I feel like he has a lot. I feel like he's really going to be kind of a glue player for the team, you know.
Also, it's not hard for the bench to look good when you got Vujicic as your starting two and Calderon as your starting one. Anybody you bring in is going to be super impressive at that point. But, yeah, I agree. The bench in game one was tremendous. And just seeing Porzingis live on the line was just eye-opening in game number one.
I mean, his first game, he had 16 points. You know,
that was nice.
Derek Williams had 24 points. That's
he was great.
What do we expect from Derek Williams? He hasn't played quite as well as he did in preseason, but I don't feel like he's really stepped off that much.
He hasn't had too many minutes in the regular season. He had a lot of minutes in that first game because Melo was not playing well. In the second game, I think we tried to force a little bit more of Melo, and it didn't work out. And then obviously in game three, he worked out. And then game four, if Derek Williams was up against Kawhi Leonard, it would have been, I don't think he would have made a basket. So I don't know. I think it'll be like those nights that we play against a weak offensive team like the Bucks. It's not a very offensive team. They don't have a lot of spacing. They don't have a lot of shooters. So I don't know what we're going to get out of him, but if he can go off for 15, 20 points when he's thrown into a lot of minutes, that's like a huge, huge help.
Yeah, he is what he is at this point. He's kind of a tweener, but there's certain matchups, and he's very good in a lot of different areas, so he can help out. He can help out defensively. He can shoot pretty good now, and he's pretty smart.
Well, he's always been able to shoot. Like, he was one of the best shooters in college. Like,
that's true.
It's the reason why he was drafted number two.
That's true. One of the things I'm most impressed with, and we talked about this earlier, is the fact that this team is just so well assembled. Like, you look where you need players. Where do we have players there? I mean, maybe we could use a better backup center or something. I guess we're using O'Quinn, but we really do have depth. I mean, their depth isn't the greatest players of all time. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting Kevin Seraphin, who was injured a couple games. The team is just well assembled. They're not the best pieces, not every one of them is, but they're very well assembled. I wonder whether Carmelo fits into the team perfectly. That's my only thought at this point. I don't know that he does.
I'm not at all worried about that right now. These guys have had 4 games of regular season to play with each other, and you know, it's not going to happen overnight. I'm not expecting anything out of this season. Like, I'd love playoffs, but if we don't make the playoffs, it's not the end of the world, which is why I'm not totally okay with Jose starting, but, like, I'm okay with it because we're not trying to win the championship. We're trying to learn how to play basketball together.
See, I thought we agreed that we're all going to bet significant sums of money that the Knicks make the playoffs. So as the podcast goes on,
I'm still going to.
we're going to bet all the Bitcoin we have on that.
That's right.
Yeah, you're going to lose all your money, dude.
It'll start off as the next podcast, and we'll all be pumped, and then it'll be, you know, the pound a fifth of scotch podcast, and cry about how we're not going to make the playoffs.
I mean, I do that anyway. So.
I thought that was part of the deal.
Or that's what I've been doing.
You know, take out a mortgage podcast because we're going to be making a ton of money because we leveraged everything we had on the Knicks, like we do every year.
This is the year to do it. 44 wins. Right.
That's true. I also have a couple bets on Porzingis MVP. Porzingis makes the All-Star game.
The real MVP?
No. Meanwhile, the MVP of our hearts. But he already has that. We all know that.
Oh, he already won that by a long shot.
So what about Jerian Grant? What are you guys thinking about him right now? The other rookie, as he's known.
He's tremendous. I'm waiting for him to be in the starting lineup at this point.
Yeah, I don't know why they're even making him earn. I feel like Sasha Vujicic is This is kind of a weird meta theory I have about Phil, which is I feel like he chose Saša Vujačić and threw him in the starting lineup because it's like, you know, like when you play Punch-Out and you fight against those really easy guys at first, it kind of gives people a sense of hierarchy. They can knock off Vujačić and get to start or something, you know?
Ooh, that's not a bad theory, actually.
He's such an easy... I used to do wrestling in high school. You know, you'd always want to beat... You had three or four people ahead of you in terms of the string, and, you know, you might have one guy that was crappy. You could beat him. That'd give you the confidence to go into the next guy, but that was kind of what I was thinking.
I did love fighting Glass Joe in Punch-Out.
That's right. Yeah. And then the other one, the Super Punch-Out, had... what the fuck was his name? Gabby J. That was him. You remember that? I don't know. I guess... I think only me and Brian are going to be old enough to remember these references.
Yeah, you guys have only... Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Man, the audience definitely knows.
Of course. Who doesn't know that? You know, if people don't like our podcast because we make outdated pop cultural references, we don't want them to listen. They're wrong. We're right. Right?
The children are wrong.
So is Kevin.
So, yeah, we followed up that impressive victory over the Bucks with a very unimpressive loss to the Hawks, but back-to-back second game of the season could kind of expected, I would say.
You know, that Hawks team is very good. I don't think that they needed Damari Carroll as much as we think that they did. You know, they got Tiago Splitter is very, very good, and they have Schroeder stepping up and getting better. And who do they have that's really that old? Millsap's a little old. Horford's old, but they've been good without him injured for so long. I mean, Kyle Korver's a little old, but he doesn't even... His skill is just standing there and drawing attention. He's like the black hole of the NBA.
Kyle Korver plays good defense, but...
That's true, yeah. But I'm just saying...
He is 34, so he is old.
He's got an old man game, is what I mean, you know? So I think that...
Yeah, he's got the Paul Pierce kind of game that... With a little more defense.
Yeah, I hated the projections, how people had the Hawks like as low as like... the 8th seed this season, and I looked at that, I'm like, you don't drop off from a 60 win team in one season that right. far. They're a really good, well built team.
Yeah,
I did have them getting worse, but not that much worse.
Yeah, NBA. I mean, I saw a lot of people having them like 8th through 6th seed, and I don't agree with that at all. I see that
I have them 5, and I'm gonna hold by that because I think the Heat got a lot better. But I don't know, the Wizards didn't look that good the other night, so I might be
biting myself in the ass. This might be a good time to make a couple predictions, because we didn't really get a chance to make our predictions for the season, and it could be something we can do to pigeonhole each other and, you know, do some name-calling throughout the podcast through the rest of the year.
Someone take notes on this.
Well, you know, hopefully our legions of fans will you know, make...
They'll hold us accountable, yeah.
I got paper. I got paper.
Especially the female fans, which apparently there's thousands of now at this point.
What?
Especially,
I should find this stat.
Especially the hot female fans.
No, that's true. I mean, those are the only... If you look at the core demo for most sports podcasts, that's who you find, typically.
I got paper. Want to do this now?
Let's do it.
Kevin's ready.
I'm ready. Well, okay. Kevin, why don't you go first since you have the paper?
No, that's okay. That's all right. Still formulating my standings in my head.
Well,
what are we predicting?
I guess we should predict quick
playoffs. We'll do quick first eight
playoff teams in the East, and then the 8 in the West, and then some predictions for the players.
I need a second.
But we don't want our listeners to think that we just came up with these off the top of our... But to be honest with you, mine aren't off the top of my head. I've been thinking about it.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Never mind. I didn't say that.
You didn't say
really
that.
As him.
No. No, what it was is that the person listening right now had a sort of a, you know, an episode in their brain where they imagined it happening. So that's what I think happened.
No, I know. That's not exactly what I meant. I was still, like, arranging them in my head. You know what I mean? Like when you forget teams that you originally had because you just didn't think of them, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Not really.
No?
But I'm trying to understand you, I think. But anyways, Brandon, you picked out you made some picks, didn't you? You got some ready?
Yeah, I would probably roll Cavs 1, Because when Kyrie comes back, they're just going to play filthy. They only lost like 6 or 7 games when all three of them played together last year, and this is like only going to be better, and it looks like LeBron's playing more team ball. I'm putting Bulls number 2. I like Hoiberg. They're getting a lot of use out of Mirotić right now, and he's solid. Heat coming in at 3. With Chris Bosh back, Justice Winslow is playing really well. Hassan Whiteside's playing really well. They got a nice deep bench. I have the Wizards at 4. They didn't look so good against the Knicks. I'm going to hold that there, though, just because I feel like Bradley Beal's going to have a nice season. He's going to earn his max contract for sure. Hawks at 5. And, dude, 6-8 is, like, the worst situation ever.
It's rough.
It's so hard. And I'm just going to rattle off 4 teams to fit into 3 spots. Because I think that's the only way that I can actually justify it.
And come on. You got to pick them.
I can't. Like,
you got to.
Anything can literally happen.
This is part of life. It's part of growing up. You got to pick them.
This is part of being on a podcast, Brendan.
Fuck.
That's right.
I'm going to go Raptors.
Now, Brendan.
Raptors at 6, which I don't like doing. But Raptors
really?
At 6.
Raptors 6?
I don't like the Raptors, but I don't think they're going to get there, but I kind of do. Raptors at 6. Orlando at 7. Fuck.
Come on, man. You know who 8 is.
I know. They have been playing so well, the Knicks. So I've got to do it. Knicks at 8.
All right.
I like it.
I love it. All right. Now I'm going to go. Okay. I think we should just do the East because, you know, fuck the other conferences and fuck all the other statistics. Who cares?
Let's focus on the East.
That's right. Number 1, Knicks. No, I'm just kidding. Number 1, the Cavs, obviously.
Number 2, Knicks.
I think everyone knows it's the Cavs. I mean, what, you think I'm an idiot? You know, number 2, Knicks. Number 3, probably, I don't know. Number 2, I think the Hawks, frankly. I think the Hawks are going to be number 2. Number 3, I pick the Heat. Number 4, actually, you know, to be honest with you, I'm going to throw a wild card. And number 4, I picked the Detroit Pistons. Number 5.
That was one of my four.
Yeah. Number 5, Chicago. Number 6, Washington. Number 7, New York. And number 8, it's tough, man, honestly. I don't think Orlando's got it together yet. And I kind of think Milwaukee's going to miss the playoffs. I'm going to go with Boston.
I honestly completely forgot about Milwaukee. Fuck.
Yeah, Milwaukee's going to be tough.
They don't have much spacing, though. Like, it's super easy to defend. I have Chris Middleton on my fantasy team, and he's getting shut down every night.
I have him, too.
It's sad, and I'm like trying to figure out a way to trade him.
Great hair, though. His hair looks fantastic this season.
So, therefore, keep him on your fantasy team.
Yeah, that's
There's
the only
no
reason.
No way
that's
that hair.
Why I have him on Shumpert.
Yeah, I mean, it
year.
Depends on what you mean by fantasy team. Anyhow, I think it's your turn now, Brian. Why don't you pick your Eastern Conference teams?
All right, I'm going to start with the big shocker. Cleveland, I got as the number 1 seed. I think that's pretty clear. They're probably going to win, I would say, what do you think, 60 to 65 games this
83,
year?
83, something, 84 maybe.
Yeah, they're going to be, obviously.
They went twice in one game.
They're the prohibitive favorites here, but I like
the
Hawks.
What if the team gets traded or something? You know, they can play 83 games.
I like the Hawks at number 2. I like the Heat at number 3. Hassan Whiteside, I don't know if you saw the game the other day. He's just developing, it seems, before our very eyes even more. So I really like the Heat at number 3. The Bulls, I'm so sick of hearing about the Chicago Bulls and how they're going to be a threat to whatever team LeBron is on in the East. You know, I do like their new starting lineup better with Mirotić.
I like Mirotić, but fuck team. I think they're done.
Yeah, I mean, I just Derrick Rose, I'm just so sick of it. I'm so sick of hearing about them. I got the Wizards coming in at number 5. I got the Bucks coming in at number 6. I have the New York Knicks coming in at number 7. That's going to 44 wins, I think, is going to get them to the number 7 seed. And I'm going to go with the Celtics. The Celtics.
I like the Celtics.
I'm going to go back a step and say I'm dropping the Celtics. I went Toronto at 8. I forgot all about Toronto.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to be a vicious
battle.
See, that's
why it's so hard from 6 to like 10. There's 5 teams that are legit contenders for that 8 spot. For both, whatever, 3 spots.
Fuck the Pacers. The Pacers' time is over.
The Pacers, fuck!
I got to rebuild.
I completely forgot about that. That's exactly what
you're
talking
about. I don't think they are that good. I think that...
I mean, Paul George is already on a mission.
I know he's on a mission, but I think Hibbert was more important to that team than people had thought. And
I agree. Yeah, I entirely agree.
They're not that good. I hate to say it. They're not that good.
If Miles Turner develops, like he's, could be decent. But well, like that's a big if.
When's he going to develop? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, if that happens this year, that's this year. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
You know, it's part of it being a team podcast that we have to kind of inflate the extent to which our young players are developing and then just shit on other teams.
Porzingis is already an all-star.
That's right, yeah. Well, I got a question for you guys. Do you guys think it's premature to have Hall of Fame conversations about Porzingis?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm thinking, will he be in the top 20 of all time when it's all said and done?
I will want that to be true.
Like I wouldn't for
will
you.
Will he be in the top 20 or 30 is the only question asked. Those are the only two options.
This is a serious question, guys. I'm dead serious.
I'm 100% serious.
I have a serious one, though. Is Porzingis in a top 20 Latvian players of all time in the
NBA? Yeah, I think he's number one. I don't know any Latvian players.
Well,
I know this one.
Beatrice is baby. Number one.
Beatrice is in there.
Yeah,
there's not a whole lot of them, because most of them you'd think of are actually Lithuanian.
That part of the world is so confusing.
Giving me a lot to think about.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, look, you know, just rattle off 10 or 15 Latvian players that you can think of, and I'm sure Porzingis is better than at least a few of them. But anyway, so we missed Kevin's ranking. I don't know what his top 8
is. Yeah,
I'm still here. I still got it. All right, so right now, I'm pretty sure I have the exact opposite of Brendan's. I have Knicks number 1, Cavs number 8.
Wow.
Knicks Magic finals. I mean, conference finals.
Kevin, it might be a good time to tell you that we're actually each floating $1,000 on this list, so just remember.
One Bitcoin.
I can't wait for that Knicks Magic matchup, though.
That's true.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game.
It'll be fun.
A lot of magic.
For real now, though. Cavs number 1, blah, blah, blah. Number 2, I was debating between the Hawks and Bulls. I got to go with the Bulls here. I don't know. I really like Mirotić, as everyone does. So, Hawks number 3. Number 4, I'm still not convinced by the Heat. I'm going with the Wizards at number 4. And the Heat at number 5. Number 6, I think I have the Raptors. I think they're still good. I think they'll be okay. I like Damari Carroll. Number 7 and 8, I still need a little time to think about. But
okay.
I need.
So
I definitely.
Five,
I definitely
four,
want to.
You
three,
made me
three,
answer them.
You right, went okay. last. All
right. Did it? Oh fuck! Wow, I can't even talk.
Okay, you got. Right, we're right, gonna right, pick for right. you. If you got 5 seconds. You got 5 seconds before
you
end up with the Sixers.
Second. All right. Okay. Can I? I got it. I got it.
Okay.
Pistons at 7, and I'm sorry, I'm leaving the Knicks out. I got the Celtics 8.
Wow.
And I have the Knicks probably 9th or 10th.
Choosing like your mind over your heart, huh?
35 to 40 wins.
35 to 40, I'll take it. That's not so bad.
That's not bad at all. And that's like raised after the first few games, so.
That's true.
Probably 35. Probably 35 for me.
I hope so, man. Doubling our wins from last year's, like, that'd be beautiful.
So we all are, I think we're all really high on the Knicks this year, but I want to know, what do you guys think are the biggest potential problems that we're facing right now? Like, what are you seeing so far that troubles you a little bit about the team?
My biggest thing right so far, other than the 37 points with the Wizards, is just Carmelo fitting in with some of the new guys. And he just, I don't know if it's, he just looks a step slow. You know, it's not just versus Kawhi Leonard yesterday. The first couple of games, he was getting blocked a lot. So I'm a little concerned about how Carmelo is going to stay engaged throughout the year. If I'm wrong and we don't have a 44-win team, if we're closer to the 30 wins, I'm just interested to see how Melo responds. He's saying all the right things right now, but, you know, if the going gets a little rough and, you know, it's looking like another failed season, I don't know. We're going to really have to look at what's going to happen with his next couple of years on the contract. So that's the biggest thing for me, Melo.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that. I'm a little worried about Melo, to be honest with you, because I think that there's something, you know, there's something kind of psychological about playing basketball. I think Melo in the off season had you know, a new outlook and changed his attitude. Not that he had an attitude problem. I think he gets too much flack for that. But I think that he regained his optimism. I think last season, and even the season before that, was probably demoralizing for him, and, you know, rightly so. And, you know, I think he came back with this renewed freshness and new attitude. But once you get on the court, you know, you get back in this old rhythm of playing. I mean, I know when I play basketball, sometimes I get, you know, and obviously I'm probably not as good a player as, you know, as Carmelo, but when I get back on the court, sometimes I don't, you know, I fall into the same pattern that I was in before, a negative playing pattern. So it's hard for him to break old patterns of behavior. I kind of worry a little bit that, you know, you remember what happened with him and Lynn. I kind of hope that he doesn't have the same effect. I don't think he will at all on Porzingis, but maybe someone like Derek Williams or someone else, if they start to emerge, he might kind of push him down or whatever. And then there's all this stuff going on behind the scenes and stuff. And if this doesn't, if other players start to play well, I can see like a psychological effect where it's like, you know, Carmelo's playing bad and he sees a new young team emerging. He doesn't like it. He wants it to be his team. I can see conflicts emerging with him because he's not playing well and the rest of the team doesn't have the same standards as him and are playing well and are improving. So I don't see a problem in terms of his play so much for chemistry, but I kind of see an issue in terms of the attitude of all the other young players getting together, the role players that are getting used to the team and each other, and Carmelo, who has sky-high expectations, as he always does, of himself and from everyone else. So that's my concern with Carmelo at the moment.
Yeah. Twitter exploded yesterday saying, you know, Melo is going after Porzingis' neck. Trying to take him out like he took out Jeremy Lin.
Could be true.
I want to make one little note about the Jeremy Lin situation with Melo. Was that Melo had just gotten traded to New York, and Jeremy Lin got good like the next, what, like a couple months later? No, the next season, but like early?
Yeah.
Like it was still Melo's show, and some dude was taking over for him. Like, yes, that's an issue, but yeah, this is like, 4 years later. I don't think that's going to be an issue now.
Yeah, that's a little different because it's this unknown guy that wasn't supposed to have such an impact.
Yes.
Like, Porzingis, we drafted him so he has such a great impact on the team, so he does so well. Like, I think Melo wants that.
Can I ask you this?
He wants the pressure off of him.
Can you see Melo being like, can you see Melo being like, you know, a LeBron James or someone like that, or one of these players who they want their team to win so bad, they don't care if they're out there, you know? I feel like a piece of him, no matter how much older and more mature he gets, unless he goes on some sort of sesshin with the Zen Master or takes peyote or something, a piece of him is always going to feel a little bit like, oh, this is my team, I should be out there, I should be doing this, you know? And that gene isn't the same in every player. LeBron James, I don't think, is like that. Obviously, players like Tim Duncan are nothing like that, but I feel like a piece of him has that, you know?
I think he legitimately, at this point in his career, thinks that he is like the most influential player on our team and can help us the most. And that's what he's trying to do. And until, like, if this shooting slump continues for the next 15 games, maybe he'll reconsider, like, mentally, he'll figure out that he's not the best player to be on the team.
Yeah.
But right now, he's coming off of surgery. He's in decent shape. He said he felt better coming into this season than he has since he was a rookie. Like, at this point, he feels like he's the best player on the team. I'm not going to dispute that claim at all. And I wouldn't take minutes away from him just yet. It's 4 games into the season. Like, people have shooting slumps. It happens. Like, yes, he's coming off a surgery. I think he can get out of this, though.
Oh, I agree. I wouldn't take minutes away from him just yet. But I worry that Melo is kind of like Kobe, and that he might not get the message. Like, Kobe still hasn't gotten the message.
There's a lot of people that debate Kobe's the greatest player of all time. So, that is an argument that has been made in the past. I don't think Melo is at all thinking he's on that level.
Oh, no, not at the same level. But just as far as the way that he approaches, like, I don't know if he's ever going to be comfortable playing off the ball, because it's just something that he's never done. I mean, besides, you know, the Olympics.
He's had some beautiful passes so far this season. He's been playing wonderfully off the ball this season.
Right, but it's just not something that he's, over the long term, I don't know if he's comfortable letting off the reins as much as maybe he needs to for that, when the team needs to take the next step. We'll see. I mean, I hope I'm wrong.
I agree with you. I'm thinking of that Hawks game. He went 0 for 7 from 3-point range. You should never be 0 for 7 from 3-point range. I don't care if you're Carmelo Anthony. And, you know, he shot 50% from, you know, not from 3-point range. But, you know, look, most players that are that kind of star caliber player can be chuckers a little bit. There's a little chucker instead of every one of these guys' brains. And
that's part of what makes them great.
Yeah, but I don't think Carmelo's killed the chucker in his brain before. You know, I think LeBron James hasn't killed it completely, but he's killed it a lot more than Carmelo has from having championships and having that much prestige, you know.
Carmelo hasn't had the experience LeBron has had, in that LeBron played with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh on a stacked team that made it to the finals, like won championships. Like, Melo has played with the best player that he's been on the floor with at any given moment is J.R. Smith.
I know. You know, I think that you might be downplaying. Like, I think J.R. Smith is up there with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, and, you know, Chris Bosh.
I'm going to sign off now.
When it comes to, you know, I don't mean basketball. I mean, you know, like clubbing and Twitter game and that sort of
thing. He's definitely the number one clubber out there.
Yeah, for sure. He's the MVP in that one. But, like, Melo needs to learn how to play with other people, and he hasn't had that opportunity. Like, he played with...
I think that's true, too.
Chauncey Billups and...
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson for that season that they made the Western Conference Finals. And he played really well. The whole team played really well.
Do you think it's
possible... But that was the best team that he's played with.
Do you think it's possible
still wasn't even that good of a team.
I'm kind of thinking for a second that maybe early on in his career, Carmelo had AI on the team and, like, saw what was happening to AI, who you know what I mean? It's like he saw AI as this guy, you know, he was the guy that ran the team, and, you know, it just never got it together. And then in the back of his head, Carmelo's like, I'm not going to let that happen to me. And it became like this deep, dark, self-fulfilling prophecy. And that lurks in the back of his brain.
That's going
really
deep.
Interesting perspective on that.
I like that.
Yeah. There's a whole culture of basketball that was developed from AI's game, just like Steph Curry's developing a whole culture of basketball right now in the way he's playing. But I'm sure Melo fell into that boat after playing with him and seeing him, like, that was his veteran mentor when he was a young player.
Yeah, you're right. And also,
that was a very wonderful point, Zach.
It's bifurcated because you have people like Carmelo that saw him on the court and tried to emulate him, and then people like J.R. Smith that saw him off the court and tried to emulate him. I'm just kidding, but I don't know if you know this, but AI is notorious. Not only was he a big clubber, but he was just the most generous guy in the world. Like, you know, he'd go to the club, he'd drop like $200,000. He'd have some kid go get him pizza and give him like $4,000. You know, he was belligerent in terms of spending money and partying. But, you know, one of the greatest, well, in my opinion, one of the greatest scorers in NBA history, especially for pound for pound.
Oh, pound for pound.
No doubt.
I feel like he kind of had the Jordan gene. I mean, I know we're kind of going on a non-Knicks subject here for a bit, but I see a lot of players. I don't think LeBron James has the Jordan gene, but I think AI had it. You know, he just didn't have the size or skill quite what Jordan had, but he had that killer instinct and that belief. And I really think that believing in yourself that much and just sort of having that, like, Charles Barkley has that, you know? Charles Barkley is a 6'4" rebounding phenom, you know, like, he just believes he's the greatest person in the world, and that ego is what makes him excel. Maybe even Donald Trump has that. Who knows?
Yeah. The team that Iverson took to the finals is just one. The fact that he took that team to the finals and won a game was just remarkable. I mean,
Matt Geiger and Aaron McKee and all those clowns.
Yeah, he was doing absolutely everything, every play offensively. It was one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in defeat. It was kind of like LeBron's performance this past year. It's just in defeat.
Yeah.
It was so remarkable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, what do you guys think of, speaking of LeBron, what are you guys thinking of the upcoming game we got against Cleveland? How do you think that's going to go?
Hopefully pretty good, but probably not. What do you guys think?
I remember those heady days back when it was, who's going to be better, Carmelo or LeBron? They came up at the same time. Those days are long gone. You know, nobody's thinking about that anymore.
LeBron used to look at Melo and just be in awe of him, of how good he was back when they were both teenagers. You know, you could see how Melo has skills that LeBron has never had, just his pure scoring ability. But it's not the same anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you know, it'll be the bigger understory. You know, J.R. Smith's back in town. What do you think? He's going to get some of the other players to go out with him.
Not play.
Is he injured? Is he injured or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he hurt his knee, I think.
Yeah, I think this game is going to be a lot like this last Spurs game. Like, you know, we'll show our flashes, but I don't think we're ever going to make a move at any point during the game.
Melo does always get up to play against LeBron, but I don't think we'll win.
I want to make one point, guys. How bad is Jose Calderon this year? I mean, he's awful.
Jesus Christ.
Really, really bad. I don't know what we should.
I don't know if I even want to talk about it.
We should cut him, I think. I'm thinking we should. He's bad. Like, he's terrible.
We got to bring Jimmer, baby.
What's he shooting? Do you guys know what he's shooting?
Through the first two games, he was 1-for-10.
I see. He's shooting 295 or 292.
Yeah.
That's what he's shooting with 5 a game. That's god awful.
And for some reason, I feel like he's obsessed with getting the ball to Lopez. That's the only guy he could find.
That Spanish connection?
Lopez isn't Spanish. Maybe the last name.
I don't know what the last name is. He's confused.
That could be it. Maybe he forgot English and sees Lopez. Throws him the ball. I don't know. I don't know what happened to him, man. He was such a good shooter.
He's 34.
The shots will come. I think the shots will come.
He might. Who knows? I think he's over the hill.
The defense will never come back.
No. Well,
he had any ever, but.
Absolutely not.
Oh, no. That's only getting worse.
We've said multiple times he might be the biggest liability on defense in the NBA.
Can he be a guy that just sort of stands there and hits three-pointers? You know, can that ever happen?
Not as a point guard, but maybe. Maybe as an off guard.
We don't play him with somebody like with another ball handler. He's usually the only ball handler on the court, which is not really okay.
I mean, look at the game. If you look at the Hawks, this is his stat line for the Hawks. He had 2 points. He had a rebound and an assist. He shot 0-for-5, 0-for-2 from 3-point range, and 2-for-2. He hit his free throws. You got to give him that. So. 18 minutes on the floor.
2 free throws?
Yeah. Well, you know, the good thing is we got Galloway and we have Jerian Grant, you know. When the hell are we going to start those guys? The whole thing about giving these guys easy guys to move up on is true, but the team might make the playoffs. We can't afford losses to just throw them away at development at the beginning of the season to create some artificial barrier for Jerian Grant or something. We got to just dump Calderon, get him off the court. He should not be starting. That's my opinion.
He makes it very difficult for the big guys to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah,
you
God.
Know? I mean, it's
they,
what are you
all
doing
of that? Those guys are running into the lane. Rolo's getting hit with so many people that he should not be defending.
Rolo playing great, by the way, in my opinion. I think he's been phenomenal.
He's unfortunately getting way too many fouls.
Yeah.
But he's rebounding nicely and making rebounds for other people nicely, and he's shooting decently.
He's shooting well. He's understated. Look, I think that's kind of what the good thing about the Porzingis pick is that, you know, you got an above-average center on the team who can do all the stuff a center needs to do. That's what Robin Lopez is. you know, that nullifies the whole center effect of needing a strong center, and how there's, you know, there's typically a glut of them in the, not glut, what am I saying? There's not a lot of them, a dearth of them in the league, you know, at any point in time. But Robin Lopez is a good center, and we have him, and I'm really happy about that. And that gives us a lot of ability to work on the rest of the team. And remember, we still have cap space, and I think that Phil can pull some stuff out in terms of building the team as the season advances. I expect some more moves before the end of the season.
I don't think Jose will finish this year with the Knicks. I just don't see it.
He's got a tough contract. Yeah, who's going to want
it? There's no one. We're not. Put it this way.
Like it's a. He's an expiring next year. I don't even know. Like no one's trading cash. I don't even care.
Nobody's trading for him. Straight up.
Is stretch his contract. I think that's the only
Cut him.
Yeah, we can't wait for him. I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, you can cut and stretch. I mean, isn't that what the Pistons did with Josh Smith?
Yeah, but then he's still on our books for the next 4 years at $3 million a year. Or we trade him for cash and we don't have to deal with him ever again.
Well, no one's
and we
give
have
us
that
anything.
$7 million for cap space.
But,
cap space.
I mean, who wants to take
Nobody.
On that contract?
Nobody's taking him on.
I don't know.
The Sixers could, no but idea. Why would they? Why would they make us good and why would they take that on? Because
they don't need to do anything.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Like, and we're not asking for a pick back.
We gotta give them something. No, no, no. We're gonna have to give them something with him to get them to take him. You know, we had to give something.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he's. That was such a mistake. That whole trade, honestly.
Serafin? I don't know.
Serafin? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think we kind of need him. I think he's gonna be good.
Last time, I think we were saying like Memphis. They need some 3-point shooting.
Yeah, Memphis
does
need.
After the first 4 games, I don't know if anyone's gonna.
Yeah, he's not really going
to
provide any shooting.
I've heard
also Memphis is talking to Miami to get Mario Chalmers.
That's,
I think
that's going
to
change. I mean, we'll have to have a whole podcast centered around how the league is going to shift after that. You know,
we got to get to Billy King before he gets fired. That's our only hope for getting rid of Calderon.
Oh yeah,
Although
you know, Memphis does have a bad front office. I think. I mean, I feel like their moves are generally not.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake.
Doesn't Memphis have Hollinger?
Do they?
I think so. I think John Hollinger is basically in charge of their front office at this point.
Isn't he that guy that went back and changed his draft predictions?
No, I think that was Chad Ford.
Chad Ford, that's right. But
Hollinger is like the mathematical guy.
Ah, right. I see.
He developed PER or PER or however it's pronounced.
He did that?
Yeah. The player efficiency rating, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
And I know, like, the ESPN trade machine.
I got a question I've been meaning to ask you guys. What do you think Carmelo Anthony feels about the 538 Carmelo, his namesake that they came up with the right players there?
I bet he's confused every time he sees it.
That's true.
I was.
I know, me too. I don't know. I'd be annoyed if I was him. I don't like that.
Carmelo does not like Carmelo. Like, what?
I mean, that's one thing you got going for you. If you're Carmelo, is your name is pretty unique, and it's a good name. I mean, I feel like that's a great name.
I love it.
It is a solid basketball name.
Grantland had a regular had a ranking. They had a ranking of all NBA players' names a few years ago. It was amazing, and I haven't been able to find it since then.
There's a post on Reddit, the like all name team.
Yes, I saw that. Fantastic. That was awesome.
I'm a little bit upset that Langston Galloway was only an honorable mention, but
yeah, that's true. He's up there. Carmelo's great; has a great name. The Knicks have. This is something we should talk about. The Knicks have some great named players. Okay, really, if you think about it, almost the whole team. What about Porzingis in terms of name? I think I mean, we all love the name because we love him. But before you heard it, it's kind of a shitty name. Let's be fair.
It's funky, but like it's really hard to make a nickname. Nobody's been able to do anything legit out of it.
No.
Funky is like now the only word I will use to describe it.
What is it?
Funky.
Yeah, that's right. Funky. That's perfect. Yeah.
Now the only word I will use.
Langston Galloway is a great name. They're all great names. Langston, they got one. Cleanthony Early, that's a fantastic name. You know, Carmelo.
Jaren Grant.
Yeah.
Jaren is spelled so strange.
Yeah, it's
I've
so,
never seen
yeah.
that word before.
It's so hard for me not to read it as Jerrion every time I look at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I got a tough time with his name. I think we should trade him.
I'm going to challenge you on that one.
I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I've been very happy with Grant. I think he needs a bit more time, but he's a perfect point. He's exactly what we need for the given the build of our team because he's so big, and he's not a shoot first player at all. He can distribute and rebound.
He's been so like, he's looked like a real like professional player. He looked like he's been in the league for like a few years.
Yep.
Like,
and a high character guy. A lot of high character guys.
Harvey Grant
team,
is
man.
His dad. Horace Grant's his uncle. I don't know if most people realize that, but he's got his NBA pedigree.
Yeah, and his brother even on the Sixers.
Yeah, that's true. It looks like they have a younger brother that is coming up sometime in the future. Or legit basketball family. And Jaren looks like he's very comfortable on the floor.
Imagine not making the NBA in that family.
That'd be so depressing.
Oh, that's like that one Manning brother who couldn't. He's like, he's an accountant or something.
Poor guy.
Yeah, and he's probably the oldest one. He's probably super successful too. I've heard he's very successful, but you know, how can you match up to the other two?
What's funny is that anybody else would be so delighted to have free tickets to all these great sports events, but you know, not him. I'm sure there's a piece of Schadenfreude going on, or you know, he's probably hoping. Well, yeah,
it's like Seth Curry. Kind of situation.
Yeah, no, poor Seth Curry.
He's in the league, baby. He's on the Kings.
Yeah, right? But like, not really.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true.
We all know that their mom loves Steph more.
Oh yeah,
oh, totally.
She goes to all his games.
That's actually funny that you're right. Yeah, that's got to be a weird dynamic. You're right because the mom goes to all of Steph's games. Steph's the older brother too, isn't he? Or is Seth?
Steph is the older brother. Yeah. So imagine having that to live up to.
Damn, that's like a suicide watch situation.
Klay Thompson's brother that was like a fringe player, like is he older too? Klay's brother?
I don't even know.
You got Taylor Griffin too. He didn't quite make it. Blake's brother.
Hmm. Yeah, he was supposed to be really good too anyway, right? He had a lot of high school mixtapes and whatnot.
Do we have any hope for young Klay Anthony Early?
Yeah, I do, I would say.
What do you think? I feel like we got to pick between him and Lance Thomas. You know, I don't know. I feel like we got a little bit of redundancy there.
Well, going with the name theme, Klay Anthony Early is way better than Lance Thomas.
That's the easy choice.
I agree. That's why I choose.
We have not given him enough of a chance this year. We played him during the preseason, and like I feel like we upped his confidence, and you know he started shooting well and driving and getting the line, and then we don't play him during the regular season, and now his confidence goes back down to where it was his rookie season, and he's gonna miss 23s in a row again because his shot is completely confidence based, and I don't think it was the right move to not play him as much as we did. Because we have the minutes to spare, I feel like, with Calderon and our, you know, other ball handlers
right.
in place of him. I mean, I would rather not him play 25 minutes a game, you know.
Right, I think the risk is we may write him off too early.
Yeah.
That was a pun, I don't know if you guys caught that.
I didn't catch that. I still did not catch that.
Yeah,
His name is Klay Anthony Early.
Now I get it.
There you go. Okay.
All right.
I was thinking.
We need one of those like radio, like you know, they have the things that make the sounds of just
Mike Breen just gone bang.
In the first episode, I was trying to explain like how we would do like the bang sound effects. I think we should.
I tried to mimic it on the.
It was perfect. It was perfect. Okay, it was great. I just wish we could do it on the fly. Like, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would definitely overuse that.
Oh, yeah. Just but that's bang. The fun of it.
Yeah. Totally.
We should have that. That's great. I think that's a great idea.
So people, if you're listening, subscribe on iTunes, and the more people that subscribe, we'll get ads, and then we'll be able to do cool shit with our podcast.
That's
so
right.
Make that happen.
We need ads to make money because we have to buy those expensive sound effects. We can't afford them yet.
shit ain't cheap.
Think of it this way: we want to make a drum roll. We got to buy a drum. We got to buy a recording device and an amplifier, and then. A cassette player to record it on, and then we got to buy something to transfer it onto a computer.
As you can see, none of us have recording devices.
A cassette player. Wow, dude.
All right. A CD player. I'm sorry.
We got to get the podcast on Shark Tank.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Mark Cuban would love this.
Now listen, Mark, we got the best idea for you. We're four white guys, aged 17 to 38, and we're going to talk about the Knicks once a week.
Sorry, guys. I'm out.
See, the problem is it might end the show because they'll all be fighting so much for us that they won't have any more money to fund Shark Tank anymore. That's my concern.
Yeah, we're going to have billions of dollars thrown our way for this once every month podcast that we have.
Mark Cuban will go, sorry, I'm out, and then we come back with, is that what DeAndre Jordan said?
Oh,
yeah. Ooh, I like it.
Ouch. And then he'd come crawling back.
Yeah, out of shame, he'd have to pay us money, I think. Isn't that how investing works?
Only with Bitcoin.
Sure.
Oh, that's right. I think we should explain that joke.
At that point, he would have to.
I work in Bitcoin, so that's what this whole Bitcoin joke business is about. I don't know if the listeners might
not get that.
No listeners will get that.
Yeah,
that's
what it's about. And Bitcoin went way up this week, by the way. So everyone should buy Bitcoin. It's going to change the world.
If you can go back to last week, buy it.
Fun fact, Kristaps Porzingis' contract is denominated in bitcoins. I don't know if you knew that.
Is that actually true?
No, it's not true.
But... Yeah, no, okay. I didn't believe that for a second.
Like, what? How did you know that?
Not true at all. Although Kevin Serafin's contract is denominated in Dogecoins, which all is right,
you got to stop that.
Dogecoins. I'm riding on the Hibbercoin wave right now.
Oh, that's right, Hibbercoin. That's what brought these alternative currencies to the mainstream is the Hibbercoin, I think.
Pioneer in modern currencies.
How did that happen? I don't remember that joke. Do you guys remember how that happened, the Hibbercoin thing?
Nope.
I don't know.
Isn't it based on, like, his stats?
I remember when it happened. It happened that game where he played, like, 40 minutes and scored a point and had no points. No points and, like, one rebound in a whole game or something.
That was in the playoffs, too, right?
Yeah, it was a playoff game. It was inexplicable.
It's too bad Kobe is no good anymore and the Lakers aren't going to make the playoffs because I want to see Hibbert doing that with Kobe on his team. Just laying a complete egg.
I think Kobe would stab him on the court.
Yeah, I wonder. Is there? I mean, I know that there's just some dumb Stephen A. Smith side comment, you know. But is there any chance we get Kobe? And what would you guys think of that? I mean, what are your views?
No, thank you.
I don't really want it to happen. I don't think it's entirely out of the realm of possibility. But like, I don't know. That would be such a wild change of like mental state for me. I don't know how I'd handle it. If the whole league, nobody would know what's going on.
I mean, it's almost like we have Kobe already with Sasha Vujacic, but if we had the real Kobe, it'd be. I think it might have to change our team a little bit. But.
Yeah, no, I would not be high on that.
Yeah, weirdly enough,
I don't want it to happen.
Yeah, me neither. But according to Stephen A, we're getting Kobe, Durant. And a couple other guys next summer.
Adding a few bench pieces.
It's going to be
nuts. I don't know where we're going to find the money, but okay. Like, whatever. We're going to have a whole new team once more.
I heard the Durant thing. They said, you know, Kevin Durant told that to him when they were having their slumber party last weekend. Since they're so close. I don't know if you guys knew about the whole beef that the two of them had. But
Yeah, no, I followed that. I couldn't believe... I still couldn't believe Stephen A. Smith's response to that.
Oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
No, it was so weird. I mean, like, it was like something out of 1984 or something. He's like, you don't talk to the media. We're powerful. How dare you disobey the media? We are all powerful. We could destroy you. You know, that was kind of an attitude. It was fucked up.
You don't want to get on my bad side? Like, what are you going to do, dude? You're going to scream on TV with Skip Bayless?
That's it. Yeah. Honestly,
everyone's gonna watch. I mean, that's the point. He wants people to tune in. He wants to get angry so people think it's funny. Or
he really is him and Skip Bayless. They're professional trolls.
I know, and they're great at it.
I try not to hate on it when like they say something stupid because I know like that's their job. Like, and they're really good at it. Like,
oh yeah,
they really know how to stir up like controversy and. And I watch. I mean, I'm addicted
me too.
To it. I contribute to the problem, but I mean, I don't bash on them. They are real professionals at that.
I kind of feel bad for Skip Bayless because he's not able to troll at full capacity. I feel like he deliberately pulled back a bit to let Stephen A. Smith become more of a troll. He was the troll, you know, like he was just I think every player in the league just despised him because he had that like, you know, the football coach, your friend's asshole dad football coach attitude where, you know, there's just this smug kind of condescending attitude all the time. And he's pulled back on that quite a bit. It's Stephen A. Smith saying some sort of bullshit argument and then him kind of, you know, being a little bit reasonable, then saying some dumb shit, and then becoming reasonable again, and then Stephen A. Smith being the center of trollishness. At least that's a pattern I see.
Yeah, I just noticed ever since Tebow left, Skip has been more tolerable.
That's a good point, yeah. So how do you guys feel about
Tebow?
What do you guys think about Derek Fisher's play calling and sort of the way that he's structuring the team right now?
I think it's a work in progress, but I like his leadership. I like the tone that he's setting for the team this year. You know, the other things like how he's stacking minutes and stuff, I think is going to come. But I definitely like him as a leader, and I like the tone that he's setting for this team this year. So I'm pretty happy. Other than his choice in dating ex-players' wives, I'm pretty happy with D. Fish so far.
It's one of those scandals, you know, like, right. It's funny when these scandals come out where it's something like that, what do we know? You know, like, maybe he's been madly in love with her all the time. Who knows what the actual story is, you know? Like,
right, no, I agree with you there.
But it's funny, no, yeah, it's
we
like...
We don't have to get into this.
It kind of reminds me of the whole, there was a senator from South Carolina where there's this big scandal that, you know, he left his family and he was, like, using the government's money. But then they released all the letters, and it was like this passionate, you know, it was almost something out of like a romance novel, you know. And it's,
right.
After you hear what actually happened, you're like, I don't know. You feel some amount of sympathy just because there's such a protagonist, you know. Like, it seems like you really kind of want to identify with the character in the story, you know what I mean? So
there's real human beings involved.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anyway.
Anyway, back to On the Court.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't seen much of the triangle. I mean, he's been kind of letting him play, like, a, you know, mostly a lot of, like, Robin Lopez pick and rolls is mostly what I'm seeing. And I don't mind it. I mean, I like him waiting so, they gel a little bit easier. And then once we find the chemistry, then we start, like, building on that. We start building, like, sets and plays and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I do like how they've loosened up on the triangle, and I'm loving the pick and rolls, definitely.
Yeah, I think they're just waiting till the players can play a triangle, and they're not there yet.
There was a nice play at the end of one of those games where Sasha held up the triangle symbol, and they went and played the possession, and everybody on the court touched the ball twice before Lance Thomas went in for an and-one layup, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was like a Spurs play. So, like, there's potential. But I'm glad that they're working on focusing on team basketball before stepping that far.
Right. Well, the other thing is, how do we know it was a triangle or it wasn't an Illuminati reference, you know? It's no way of knowing.
It might have just been Sasha.
Why can't it be both?
Holy shit. I think this podcast just transcended being a Knicks podcast, and it's, you know, it's a new InfoWars podcast or something.
Apparently, each wing of the Denver airport is built by a different engineer, so that nobody knows the actual build of the Denver airport, and that's the Illuminati headquarters. That's what I was told.
Come on, man. I learned that in eighth grade. Everyone knows that.
All right. I'm a step behind on this.
That's actually where Carmelo and AI used to hold their late night.
That's why he was drafted.
That's right. It all makes sense. All the dots are easy to connect, guys. Come on.
Wait. All right. Wait. I don't understand how Porzingis could be the leader of the Illuminati if he's from Latvia.
But
this isn't adding up, man.
Look, dude, we can't explain everything to you.
Wait, no, I can't explain it. Underground tunnels.
True. Oh, man. Wow.
All right, anyway, back to the Liberty. Knicks. Knicks.
Oh, man. Anyway, guys,
Speaking of the offense, though, they've been, in addition to the triangle, been pushing the ball a lot more. You know, seems like they're focusing more on just getting out on the fast break. Yeah, I'm loving it, too.
We have the fifth highest pace in the league right now.
That's great.
Which is awesome. We had, like, the third worst in the league last year. And I don't like to compare this year to last year, but... sometimes.
Yeah, as a casual, not very good basketball player, I feel like on the break, like the passing on the break, that's where you like learn the most about your teammates. That's how I.
Oh yeah, yeah, you know where somebody's gonna cut in, like what they're gonna go up for that dunk, or they're gonna go up for a layup, or like what are you gonna? Yeah, I hear that. Spot up on the three. I hear that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think it's been about an hour. I think that we're approaching the end of the podcast. It's been an hour and 37 seconds.
Just past an hour.
That's right. So I feel like we've covered a lot of bases here. And how do you guys feel?
So far, so good. But we talked a little bit about the Cavs. So if we're going to do for next week, we got the Bucks and the Lakers. If we're going to tape this in another week. So after seven games, what do you guys think? Where will we be after seven games?
I think we'll be right back where we are. Well, not quite, but I think we'll be. I'm going to say 4-3.
4-3.
I think we'll be 4-3. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I'm at 4-3 or 3-4.
Well, someone's got to come up with some difference. You know, we got to have some kind of what do you call it?
I think we'll be 0-7 by the end of the week. Easily.
That makes total math. Yep.
0-7.
Makes total math.
That makes total math.
That it does.
Great. This has been the That Makes Total Math episode of the Bang, the Knicks podcast.
And we have to, I guess, Brendan, you asked to for the people that listen to rate us on iTunes, so we should just kind of reiterate the importance of that, right?
Yeah, do that. Like us on Facebook. Do you have the Twitter set up? We should somehow make people
I
know
do, that yeah. We have a great Twitter handle. It's at NixBang. So you got to follow at NixBang to get the latest on the podcast.
Yeah, I think if you search multiple sources Nix on Facebook, you should find the Facebook page.
And you know that we're such pro podcast guys because we're mentioning all the stuff at the very end of the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are very, very experienced in this business.
But, you know, if you like Bang the Knicks podcast and you want us to talk about you or mention you in the podcast, if you say anything to us in any way, there's like a pretty high chance we're going to probably mention you and talk about it in the podcast or respond to questions, I think. So it's a pretty safe bet.
In regards to this, there was one comment on our website. But it was a total spam comment.
That's right.
I had to delete it.
But that's better than nothing.
Very unfortunate.
Spammers.
We got one. We got
spammers,
one.
Spammers, come talk to us. We love spam. Come on.
Just give us
every
stuff.
Little bit helps.
Gives right. me something to do during the day.
Doc, we hate doctors too, or doctors hate us too, right? but honestly, if anything, people want to interact with us, I think that we'll probably respond to it. And look, you know, now's your chance. Get in on the ground floor, you know. You're going to be a part of history. Once we're all big wigs and, you know, we're selling millions of podcasts a week and we got people on the streets of New York selling our podcast on the corner for, you know, a couple $100 a piece, people will remember you. Thousands of bitcoins. We won't forget. I won't forget.
Well, who was our first listener? Keith?
Keith
listened, yeah.
Keith!
Shout out to Keith!
Let it be known.
There is no Keith.
Oh,
there might be one.
There's got to be a Keith. He's there.
You know, I got a couple family members that listened to the one that we didn't release. You know, that's worth something.
Oh, good. Maybe they'll listen to this one.
Were they impressed?
They didn't really listen to it. Nah. Nobody likes the Knicks in my family. The only Nick, actually, my uncle. I got a couple people like that listened to it. So, but anyway, and now is your chance to get our attention and speak to us. It's going to end soon. We're going to have legions of fans that will be begging us, you know, for their attention. We won't be able to answer all the questions. You know, the mailbag will be overflowing. So now's your opportunity. That's all I'm trying to say to our many fans.
Yeah, we got to find a way to take some, once we get fans, some type of mailbag. They could send us some questions, and you could just break it down on the podcast.
Just send all your mail to the Knicks training facility.
That's right.
They'll get it to us.
Yeah.
That's true. Send it to Jeff Van Gundy or Latrell Sprewell or something, and they'll forward it to us.
Too soon, man.
I'm sorry.
He's got kids to feed, man.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for Bang the Knicks podcast episode 2. The what was it called? What was the name of it?
It's happening.
It's happening. That's right.
Cue the Ron Paul meme.
It's happening. Edition.
Yes.
All right, guys. Anyway, it's been fun.
Good night. It's been real. All right. Till next time. Later.
Bye-bye.